got the most of juice in the Warriors organization.
You guys are New Year's Eve every day from 10 to 2.
Now, back to Steinie and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, we're back. Talk a little 49ers.
Yes, sir.
Football is back.
Praise hell.
You have some good news or something?
Well, yeah. Austin, San Jose had the line of the day. He said, Guru, do you live by a substation? I will leave that there, but I don't. You know, what I like to do, you know, when you're off, Steinie, and I'm getting ready for the show is talk to my coworkers, mingle.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday I was in there talking to Megan, our girl in sales, awesome Meg. We met her husband, Bryant. But what if I told you, and I cleared this, they're having a kid, a baby girl, Steinie, November 12th. That is good news, and I want to share it, and she said I could share, so congrats. Do you remember where you were when you found out you were having your first?
No.
What you mean, no? You had to get a call or a text?
I can't remember.
Wow.
Almost 30 years ago.
Okay. That's you.
Well, then we know it wasn't a text message.
Well, they didn't have those.
No, you're right, but Steinie, you had to find out. Did she come home and say, hey, we're having a kid? It was,
now I remember.
Okay, tell me. I remember where I was at. I fell out.
The doctor sent a telegraph. That's how I found out. See, I'm making fun of my age.
Oh, okay.
Don't you get it?
I was up here like, damn. But you truly don't remember, huh?
I actually do.
Okay.
You got a call from the doctor. Isn't that how it usually happens?
I got mine through Mia. Let me. Well, no, it wasn't Mia. It was my son's mother, Donovan's.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations to Megan.
Mm-hmm. And Brian.
Brock Purdy was on the Built for More podcast, and
whose podcast is that?
Well,
my bad. Hey, Marcy, Built for More. Go ahead.
That wasn't Marcy.
Yeah, she waved.
That was Bob. Marcy's not here today. Jeez. This is kind of what some people, I don't want to say have a problem with, but you know, you just did a whole
show. If they got a problem, call me.
If you got
a problem with Goo, call me. We could talk about it. I don't need you to third person. If you got a problem, I hadn't heard about it. Okay. So don't do that. I don't like that phrasing.
Well, I'm gonna go forward with it anyway.
All right, go ahead.
You just said how you love talking to coworkers and camaraderie and I don't know. Maybe you're talking to the wrong people. So I'm going to ask you this. Okay. Like, that was Bob, not Marcy. So are you sure Megan is pregnant?
Right.
You sure it's not Lauren?
Listen,
could it be Lauren or Leslie?
One of my rituals is Marcy walks by and I throw up. She'll wave. I'll wave back. So I saw the silhouette of whoever I thought was Marcy. It was Bob. My bad.
Okay.
And you're right to call me out on, but she is preggo.
Which one? Marcy? Bob? Lauren, Megan, Lindsay,
Megan
or Megan.
And Brian are expected. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
By the way, the Built for More podcast is hosted by a guy named Denny Thompson who works with quarterbacks. Ooh. And has built a podcast around faith. So that's why Brock Purdy was on.
Got you.
Oh, good stuff.
I got you.
He's a pastor at a church.
Gotcha. Oh. All right. So this is Brock Purdy on the separator between levels once you reach the NFL.
Okay.
Everybody in the NFL as a starter, even second string guys, dude, they're the best in the world at what they do. And you can have a great team in college, be surrounded by a great supporting cast, you know, all these SEC schools that recruit great and they got great teams and they win national championships. And I'm not knocking them for that. That's awesome. Keep doing that. But like when it comes to the NFL, dude, you're playing against the best of the best at every position. And so with that being said, it's like, how do you separate yourself? The talent, everybody's so talented and you got to be talented to play. Yes. But at the end of the day, man, it's coming down to the mental part of the game of processing quickly, making the right decisions over and over and over. Kittle told me my rookie year, I'm like, dude, so like, what is it? And he goes, have you heard that Marshawn Lynch quote about you're going to get got, but you need a got more than the other guy or something like that. It's whoever can.
It sounds like a Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. I was like, huh? And so I listened and I thought about it and he goes, Brocky, he's like, at the end of the day, it's, you just got to be more consistent than the guy across from you and do better longer. You know, they're going to make great plays. You're going to be, but who can do it the longest mentally, physically, all of it together?
Wow. Like I believe all of that, man. It's talent everywhere, Stoudy. And you always laugh at me because you think I don't respect the 13th man on an NBA team or you know, the last man to don't even play on a football team, but you had to be Billy Badass somewhere to make it to the pros. But I believe that. Like, you got to keep reinventing yourself, man.
I mean, the one thing that I feel like is, okay, so when Purdy was – and I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right. So when Purdy was drafted in the seventh round as the last pick,
man,
I believe that – because like he got a break, or I don't want to say he got a break, but when he was evaluated right away, we took into consideration he was the last pick in the draft. Look what he's doing. This guy's the last pick in the draft. Well, now it's been 3 or 4 years and he's been in the league, and it no longer matters that he was the last pick in the draft. He's a starting quarterback. So how good can he be among the 32 starting quarterbacks? Like I can't think of anything more irrelevant in a way than at this point, then, well, he was the last pick in the draft.
No.
Like, that's done. He's makes a ton of money. He's been starting for years.
Quarterback to Super Bowl.
Whether he was fairly or unfairly picked seven, like, he's just a regular old quarterback now who gets judged like every other quarterback.
Well, that's fair. I had no problem with that, and I think you knocked that out the park. I guess if we're doing a bio on him, you know, that'd be part of the story, but he shed that. He's gotten paid. He's won an NFC championship game. He's quarterback to Super Bowl. And now he's won wherever you have him ranked. You know, he's a top tier quarterback.
How many tiers do you have on your quarterback list?
Well,
because I'd have him second tier.
Okay, now, you would have to break that down because I had him ninth, I had him like top 10. And there's some guys that he's beaten along the way in playoff pressurized games to where that means something to him. But then I sit back and I'm like, okay, was it 11 Brocks versus 11 Dak Prescotts? No. Did the Niners maybe have a better team? But I've seen Brock Purdy perform on the fly, you know, outside of the game he got knocked out in the playoff game in Philly. But what he did against Geno Smith in the playoffs, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, like I can't unforget that. Went toe-to-toe with Mahomes, you know, in the Super Bowl. So I got Brock Purdy like seventh or eighth on my list, man.
Yeah,
would that be considered your second tier?
That's a little high for me, but that's definitely second tier. You know, I think there's 4 or 5 quarterbacks that we'd all acknowledge we would take over Purdy, right? We take Josh Allen over Purdy.
No doubt.
We take Burrow over Purdy.
No doubt.
Stafford.
No doubt.
Mahomes.
No doubt.
Okay, so there's 4.
Okay,
so whether I don't know how you feel anymore about Lamar Jackson or any of those other guys, but
he's done more than Lamar, but yeah.
That's tier one.
Yeah.
That's tier one. And Purdy's not in that, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whether he's, I don't know, 8, 10, 12, that's up to you. But, you know, when I think about Brock Purdy, like I said, and I'm thinking about words to use, like, I think he's good.
Yeah.
I think he's solid. You know, I don't think he's elite. I think he's pretty reliable. I think he's tough.
What would elite look like in this, Kyle? Like, can you get to elite? You know, what would that look like in Kyle's offense? Because elite, to me, was 2023 Brock Purdy when they went into that round. I know I keep bringing this up, but they went into that Christmas game against the Ravens, and he was an MVP candidate along with Lamar. Like, can it get even greater than that for him?
I mean, I think that year he had what?
Talking
about Purdy. Yeah. 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions,
something like that.
He
had it going.
So that's, you know, I mean, a year like that, I think everybody would take out of Brock Purdy. This is Kyle Shanahan from yesterday. First of all, this is what he said about this supposed hold-in.
Okay. I mean, people make a lot of assumptions, and that would be a one that they're wrong on.
All right, so he downplays the hold-in.
All right.
But he was asked about McCaffrey's injury and when we might expect him back, and this probably should make 49er fans feel pretty good.
I think if it wasn't Christian and we were in a game week, I think he would play today.
Is it related to the calf or Achilles?
No, just some tightness. We'll get sensitive, I say, where. So.
I mean, Steiny, for him to – that's funny. But for him to say if it were game week, he probably would play. And after what I did personally, I wasn't by myself, but it's about me at the summit last year when I was overly concerned when we got that breaking news about the calf. and we saw how he just went out and played 17 games. I mean, for Ka to say if it were game week, he would play, like, man, nothing going on here. I don't believe.
And then, obviously, the other big injury guy for the Niners is Nick Bosa. What's going on with him? It was about a week ago they announced he was going to be week to week.
Yeah, he's making a lot of progress. He's a lot less irritation, soreness, and tendonitis, whatever you want to call it, than he had last week. So we think he's going the right direction, and we see him similar to Christian.
All right, so it seems to me that Kyle's kind of, and the team, downplaying these injuries.
And
I think
love
they
the
feel
fact
like they're healthy.
You know, and we only got two, only. But, Stani, the regular season's, you know, not too far off. You know what I mean? So we're going to find out who's what. Bosa has me nervous, man. Just that knee, that leg that he's had prior injuries on. So all according on who you read and who you talk to, you know, this tendonitis, some say, oh, it's just par for the course. But, man, you know, you don't want it to be like an arthritic type of thing to where, you know, he's just going to have issues with it. But, man, they need a big season from him.
All right, let's I'm going to go through some of these injuries, Goo, and okay. what Shanahan said. This is what's going on with George Kittle.
I kind of listen to George the same way you guys do. George isn't a big put a date on it, and I'm not going to be that dude either. But I think you guys can tell how he's talking, how he looks, that I agree. I think it's sooner than later.
All right. So I think Kittle's got a shot to play week one. Who else is hurt? Mikal Williams.
Yeah, I mean, he's further along. I mean, he's further away than those other guys you guys just asked about. But we do think he's close. I mean, I do think week one would be a long shot, but we haven't ruled it out yet. But he's progressing very well.
All right, so it sounds to me like McCaffrey, Kittle, and Bosa could play week one. That's what I'd be optimistic that they could play week one.
Yeah.
What did you hear?
McCaffrey for sure, so I'm not worried. Stoddy, I don't think we're going to see Kittle week one. And what if I told you we're not going to see Bosa week one? That's just how I'm seeing it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't alarm me.
Like, take your – remember how I talked about you while you left, Evan and I was like, you know, Stoddy was saying 17 games, you got time. But that does fit the narrative when you're talking about injuries, you know?
For sure. I mean, if they're not ready, you don't. It's right. Pretty simple. You don't play them, especially because you got to go travel 15 hours. And if they're not quite ready for week one, they get 10 days off before week two. And you know the old saying, rather be safe than sorry. I feel like none of those injuries are going to linger into week three or four.
Except maybe Mikal.
Yeah. Absolutely. Unless one of those three guys, I'm talking about McCaffrey, Kittle, or Bosa, have a setback. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Leroy.
Lee.
Leroy's in the house, and Leroy's in Oakland. What's up, Leroy? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Steiny. What's up, Guru? How you guys doing, man?
Hey. You got it. It's football season, baby.
It is football season. I am so excited, but I'm most excited about coming out to the summit. I had a great time last year, me and my wife. So we'll be back out there, man. Hey, I just want to say, Steiny, you mentioned, you know, hey, 49er fans, when you look at Purdy, when you see Purdy, what do you see? Do you see him as cool? Do you see him as this? When I look at Brock Purdy, when I see him as everything Mr. Irrelevant is not. Mr. Irrelevant is incapable. But I look at Brock Purdy and I see him as capable. I see him as important to the matter that we're talking about. And that's the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. So he walks around like he knows that he is important and that he knows that he is capable. And that's all I got. I just wanted to answer that question. No, I see a guy who, not necessarily a chip, but someone who knows he's capable, someone who knows he's important, and I just hope it translates into a good season. Because honest with you guys, I got us at 10 wins. What do you guys think?
Mm. Yeah, I'm right around there right now, Leroy, for sure.
You think that gets you in the playoffs?
That's always a year-to-year thing, depending on, you know, what other teams have done. Who was the Did ten wins make it in the NFC last year?
I'm about to tell you now. I don't think so, but I could be wrong. Hold on.
But what we're talking about is, you know, Jim Harbaugh yesterday was asked about Brock Purdy. And, you know, if someone were to ask me about Brock Purdy, what I thought of him, I might tell you what I thought of him. But Harbaugh really likes him. And we're talking to the boss today, and he was like, you hear what Harbaugh said about Purdy? Here it is.
Yeah, just I mean, how good he is. His timing, his decision-making, his accuracy. It's like how cool he is, you know, how cool he plays and all that, you know. Same, kind of the same way I think of Kyle, you know. I mean, it's cool. I love the stuff he puts on tape. I love his demeanor. Love the toughness of his teams. You know, I love that they're really good at football. And, you know, great to be around it.
Yeah, so, you know, heard that, and then the boss, you know, the boss was talking about it. He's like, you think if you ask 49er fans to describe Purdy in a word or two that they would use cool? And I was like, that's a good question. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd probably use, I think he's good. I think he's solid. I think he's reliable. I think he's tough. And so he was just saying, you know, what are some of the one-word descriptions you would have for Brock Purdy? And the bottom line is, like, most of my words are positive. You know what I mean? I think he's gutsy. I think he's a little underrated. I think he's savvy. I wouldn't say he's elite. Here's the one thing I would put in there now, Goo. I think he's a leader. I think we've seen him become a leader over the last 3 or 4 years. Like, yeah. He's no longer looking at himself as a seventh-round pick. I got to fit in. I got to do everything the coach says. I got to spread the ball around. I think now he's looking at it as, you know, this is my team. Yeah, even though you would never get him to say, this is my team. Mm. Like, he's not the kind of guy who would even use that terminology, I don't believe. He would just say, yeah, I'm the quarterback of our team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's who he is.
Now, I feel like, shout out Shasky, because I feel like I'm butchering the assignment, but I feel like it's Steph Curry or Steve Nash, mild-mannered guys off the court or off the field, and then when they step on the field, they just become, they go in Lou Ferrigno, you know, Incredible Hulk. And I feel like that's what Brock Purdy's persona, when we see him just mild-mannered with the, you know, Sears Roebuck outfit, just coming in, just being a regular guy, he turns into something else on the field. And that's why I thought, you know, again, I'm hearing Harbaugh say he plays cool. I see that, like, lightweight swagger sometimes that I love from Purdy that blows me away. I'm like, this dude ain't, you know, he's different than the guy walking into the locker room. But you described his whole person, and I feel like I'm just describing the guy on the field. Yeah. He's got that arrogance and cockiness at times.
Yeah,
even to make throws, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm just, you know, like,
is he cool?
I mean, he's not a speed merchant, but he's not slow. I mean, I just, you know, kind of all the key. He doesn't have a, you know, his arm is, would you call him accurate? Harbaugh called him accurate.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty accurate.
Yeah, he came out to shoots accurate. I mean, yeah, that can definitely improve. Let me ask you this, Donnie, just real quick. I'm having fun. Radio Stani compared to Stani off the air. A big shit, big difference?
No.
And that's how I feel about myself, if somebody were to ask. But Brock, I feel like, is, you know, just real unassuming, but he turns into a monster on the gridiron.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of throwing that around. 888-957-9570. Just, you know, in vintage Harbaugh way, he's interesting to listen to talk. And, you know, oh, he's so cool. Brock Purdy's cool. It's like, well, he's kind of corny, actually. He's kind of a flannel shirt dude.
Yeah, that part.
He's pretty,
you're right.
You know, he's pretty, you know, I don't say nerdy, but he's pretty straight-laced, right?
Yeah, but on the field, he's different to me.
Right.
Yeah.
888-957-9570 is the number. Talking about the San Francisco 49ers, they had a dual practice yesterday, and they have a game tomorrow against the Chargers. Here was Kyle Shanahan talking about who may play, who might not play.
Yeah, not all of them, but I expect a number of starters to play, unlike last week. So I haven't told them yet, but they'll find out soon. But yeah, you guys will see a number out there.
Including Brock?
Haven't told him yet, but there's a good chance.
All right, so it looks like Brock Purdy may play.
I can't wait to watch.
Tomorrow. We'll see for how long.
Yeah. How long would you go?
Probably series.
Yeah. I'd give him two. Well, dependent, right? You can go three and out, and then you're sitting, or you go three and out, we'll give you one more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they do that. You know, if he plays, they have a 10-play drive, is that enough?
No, that's more than enough to me.
This is more Brock Purdy. This is Brock Purdy talking about the defensive line intensity from the Chargers yesterday.
Yeah, man, I think, you know, Coach Krzyzewski does a good job with just, like, their intensity, man. Like, every play they're going to shoot their gaps and you're going to feel them, and especially on the edges too. Like, I really got to step up in the pocket, you know, against our guys. And they do a good job getting around the edge, and also on the keepers and stuff. They're there in our face. Like, you can just feel them every play, and it feels like they do a good job with rotating guys, and the next guy that comes in, they're going to bring it too. So I feel like that's obviously a huge part of a team, you know, down in the trenches, man. If you have a good defensive line, you can go really far, and I believe we have that. So obviously we get Bosa back too. That's going to be good, and Mykal Williams, so it's going to get even better.
All right, so he was talking about his own defensive line that he goes up against in practice, and, you know, he likes what he sees about what he's going up against, even, you know, without Bosa and Mykal Williams out there.
Yeah, you asked, Donnie, last year Green Bay was the worst playoff team, and they had 9 wins and got in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
but that was last year. Yeah.
Yeah. This year, and somebody won the division with 8 wins, didn't they? No. That team won.
Carolina.
What was their record?
8-9.
So 8-9 got a team in, and 9-8.
Yeah, but
got
that ain't happening in the West, but yeah.
Well, it's not happening in the West, but somebody's going to gobble up a playoff seed, you know.
Wow.
With those kind of numbers, mm-hmm. but yeah, kind of interesting.
Hey, this is what I wanted to run by you. Mm-hmm. Tell me if you think we've been together almost 10 years, man. I just share stuff with you that comes to mind. At what point do you get worried about Kittle and Bosa of the injuries that they endure and the rehab to where they're not what they were when they come back? Like, I'm more worried about Kittle as his. Bosa's a whole different story because he had history with that knee. But how many more, you know, injuries can Kittle sustain to where 85 is not 85? Like, that's a big concern. And when you go out there, you know, the game doesn't stop because guys are injured or coming back from injury. It's a violent sport, and he plays hard. But I'm worried about Kittle, Stani. Like, how many more can he endure before it robs him of his true powers, you know?
I mean, he's getting up there anyway.
Well, that
so,
part.
You know, it's just like, you know, in a way we talk about Steph Curry and like, oh, I'm worried about the runner's knee. It's like, that's not the only thing to be worried about. You also got to be worried about him turning 39 years old. As for, you know, Kittle and Bosa, I can just tell you my opinion, which isn't necessarily right.
Yeah.
I'm a little more worried about Bosa because you know, I think Kittle, for the most part, if he's healthy, can do the things the Niners need him to do, which is block.
Right.
And then if, you know, when he gets back to 100%, then he gets back into the pass game. But Bosa's a guy that they need to, like, if Kittle just returns and is pretty good, I think that's
take
fine.
That. Yeah.
But Bosa's got to come back and be, you know, better than he's been since that year that he had a while ago, I think. What do you guys think at 888-957-9570? On the other side, I want to take a look at all three of the Bay Area teams and where they are right now and where they're going in the future. Who are our team's core players? That's what we're going to get into on the other side at 888-957-9570. Your golf game may not be perfect, but it can still make a difference. Join Pettinelli Financial Partners for their 11th annual charity tournament at Harding Park. It benefits the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area, on Friday, September 11th. Go to Pettinelli, PettinelliFP.com to learn more. So you want to get in on that golf tournament, and that is on September 11th. The Valkyries, they are also back in action tonight after clinching a playoff spot on Monday. They take on the Minnesota Lynx at 7 o'clock. You can listen to it right here on 95.7 The Game and on the free Odyssey app. It's all brought to you by Unstoppables. As the official laundry fragrance partner of the WNBA, Unstoppables brings the freshness. Feel confident, stay in the moment, and smell unstoppable. Try Unstoppables laundry scent boosters for as low as $5.
I'm just going around in circles. So what? They don't care who you are. They want their money.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
We're in a good mood now, man.
Why?
Carter just brought in his beautiful, brand new baby girl, Sienna.
Yeah.
If I'm saying it correctly, just gorgeous eyes. Nothing like a brand new baby, Steiny.
Well, 6 months old. It's
That's
getting brand. Older by the day.
That's brand new, pal. Yeah. Is, oh, my God.
At 6 months old, you already start developing bad habits.
Ah, look at you.
Both She's kid, beautiful, the kid and Carter. The parents.
They did well, man.
Congrats, Carter.
No doubt about it.
Way to go, buddy.
Said he golfed this morning.
I'm congratulating you. What the hell did you do? It's about your beautiful partner.
Well,
she did the work.
He had the potion.
Please.
My potion,
yes,
you know
did,
what I
but
mean.
Like, everybody's got the potion.
Well.
Don't talk about that.
There you go.
Talk about whatever I want.
Hey, what's up? I'm going to the Valkyries tonight.
Nice.
0-2 against Minnie. Yeah. I had to take care of that. Ball holla.
It'll be a big game.
I was disappointed we didn't get Tiffany Hayes, Valkatraz. If I had guts, I'd go up to her tonight and say, hey, that was dope.
She's not a monster.
Ball
you could
holla.
Probably go up and tell her that. And I don't think she'll claw your eyes out.
I hear you.
Say, hey, Daryl the Guru Johnson from 95.7 The Game. That's really clever.
That was good.
All right. Evan, talking to Evan yesterday. And, you know, we got the Warriors coming off a 37-win season. Giants. You know, obviously not having a great year. Warriors trying to bounce back from, you know, a 37-win team. And then the 49ers, who had a good year last year despite a bunch of injuries. They made it to the playoffs and won a round.
Yep.
And, you know, they're in a little bit different of a space, but who knows how different. So I want to get into this because I think there's kind of levels to it, but Evan asked a question, and he threw the three teams out there, the Niners, the Giants, and the Warriors.
Right.
And which members of those teams right now would you be able to confidently say are part of the core of those teams? And the thing he said was, you know, pick three players off each team that are your core players. You know, that you're going to build around. Now, just indulge me for a second about the idea of building around.
All right.
Because I think when we say building around, it assumes that the people you're building around must be stars. And
I didn't take it that way, but okay. Well, obviously they're talented. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, I mean, for example, you know, I'll just throw a guy out there. I think the Giants, I think Eldridge would be a guy.
No doubt about
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, we don't know if he's a star. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
But I couldn't come up with two others to go with them. That, you know what I'm, that's how scary it is for
right.
me right now,
but,
looking at the big club.
But just be, but that, what I'm saying is just because a guy might not be a superstar down the line.
No doubt about it.
Doesn't mean that you don't want to have him on your team.
Yeah.
You know, like if.
Who knew Draymond was going to be a fixture? Even
yeah, exactly.
when he took over.
So
you know what I mean? Who knew what he was going to be?
Right. And so, but Draymond's rookie year, you wouldn't say he was part of the core.
No doubt about it.
Okay. So
and that's why we love sports.
So who are some of the guys, like if I said Giants, 49ers, and Warriors, and you have three at the most, but You don't have to put three there.
Okay, then I'm okay then. Can I start with the Giants?
Sure.
I got Bryce, and that's it.
Okay.
Now, I know their farm system, the rankings, and it's kind of exciting, but you don't know what you have until we see these guys on the farm that they got from all these trades. They went from, like, what, 15th to 6th or something like that? So that's awesome. But right now, today, and I'm watching this team, especially with what's left of it, right now, I can just for sure, Stoney, say Bryce Eldridge is all I see. Wiz and Hunt, I feel like that ship has sailed, and I could be cruel, but what have you. It is Bryce Eldridge. So that's the one of all I have for the Giants right now. You got a problem with that?
Well, I have I would – like Casey Schmidt is a guy I want to keep. And – but, again, this is kind of what I'm talking about. Like, nobody wants to build – around Casey Schmidt. So, yeah, if you're just saying who would you build around, I guess, but like Casey Schmidt's already done more in his career than Eldridge. Eldridge may have more potential than Casey Schmidt, but yeah, I'm with you. It looks like Eldridge has more potential, so I would build around Eldridge, but it doesn't mean I would just because Schmidt's not a superstar I wouldn't totally want him on the team.
Yeah, and him being hurt, I just totally... You know, he's 27 years old, Stoney, and I love what he's done. So if I want to be fair, because I totally just, because he was hurt, forgot about him, I'm going to add him to that list. So I got two Giants, Casey Schmidt and Bryce Eldridge.
All right.
He deserves that respect.
I also have the guy I have on there, and trust me, I'm not trolling.
For the Giants.
Yeah. All right. It's still Devers. It's still Rafael Devers. Yeah. He's 29 years old. He's their best home run hitter.
Well, Stoney, I think they're trying to get rid of him.
I'm sure they are, but
for right now.
Okay, so let me ask you this: If you get rid of Rafael Devers, like what do you do about 32 homers and 80 RBIs?
Okay,
how do those get replaced?
Let's talk. What are those 32 homers and 82 RBIs done for you since he's been here? I'm not trying to poo-poo what he's done. It's not equating to winning, right? So yeah, okay. If we lose
But are those? But is he the reason they're losing?
But he's
all I'm saying is if you take 30 homers and 80 RBIs out of your lineup, where do you get that from next year?
Well, what if you don't and you go get hope for the future?
That's cool.
With what you bring in?
That's fine.
Okay, because I feel like his timeline and where the Giants are at, you know, the two timeline thing that people hate, it's not aligned. And I just feel like something's up, man. And if they could, we'll find out. But if Buster could get off of Devers, I don't feel like he'd be like, oh, my gosh. But I hear you. 80 RBIs plus and the 30. But, Stoney, I just don't think he's destined to be here. So that's why I didn't have him down.
Okay. So
and you're talking about a big Devers guy when he first came.
So if you don't want Devers here, then you do realize you're probably not going to be good for a couple years.
And I think you're going to not be good with him here.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm going on. That's how I'm going
I'm just wondering if you trade Devers now for a guy who's not going to be in the major leagues for 2 years, like what do you do with 30 homers and 80 RBIs?
Well, you're about to lose 100 games possibly, and I'm not blaming Devers for all that by any stretch, but what has – the record, you can give me the
record. I don't understand
the
this.
Like, with Devers.
Like Devers is their – what if I said Devers is their best offensive player?
Okay, but what – and I'm taking the page out of
his fault?
I'm not saying it's his fault. My point is he hasn't changed the culture here.
Okay.
And I got a year and a half plus to go off of that, so I think I've come to the realization.
Why do you say this about Devers, but like you bring up like a guy like Kittle and Bosa, and you'll say, well, you know, can they reach that –
they have
level.
Already played in the Super Bowl twice.
Well, and Devers is a champion. So
not here.
What I'm getting at, Goo, is like, okay, here's what I would say about Devers. Is Devers a superstar? No, but he's the best offensive player we have. Okay. And like you use that argument for Curry and for McCaffrey and for Trent Williams. It's like, I'm just telling you, if you get rid of Rafi Devers, you get rid of your best offensive player, probably.
And Stoney, you got to keep it real with me. I hear you. I've been pro Devers, and I think he is a superstar. Okay, I don't know what's going on, but what I've done is I've realized, Mr. 90 game win prediction, what I've realized is this team is so far from winning or contending, I now can see, I see it, I feel it, that Devers He can't fit, him alone can't fix this.
Okay. And
I'm ready to turn the page, and if you could flip him for some top prospects, I would be willing to do that. And I think they might want him out of here. And then maybe it's the personal part of Devers that I really just want to get out of that business. But Steiny, yeah, I'm not putting it all on him, but it hasn't worked.
Like, when you got Rafi Depp, like, this is the part I don't understand about Devers, and I'm not a huge fan. Yeah. His numbers are very similar to Boston, right? They're pretty similar. So when you acquired Devers, you hope to get those numbers. And it's like, okay, you got those numbers for the most part. Let's say 90% of the numbers. And he's been the player who resembles the back of his card. So, like, but he hasn't been a bust. And so,
but
he's still your best player. Using your argument that you always use, which is, Steph, and I get it. You're going to say Steph's different. When Steph plays, when Devers plays, he hits.
Okay, I'm going to say this, Donnie, and I'm going to go one step further. And I don't know, I'm going to go Valkatrass because I don't know how you're going to escape this one. This feels like the same conversation we had Klay Thompson's last year when he damn near ended up at 40% from three. And you said, and you were passionate about it, yeah, Goo, it's 40. He got there. But there was some, I can't just sign off on it was 40. There were some ups and downs and some downs and ups. I feel that way about Devers and the ball club. They got so many other holes that I wasn't aware of, that I undersold, that where I feel like, yeah, you hit the back of the baseball card, but when you look at the record since he's been the inception of the trade, it just hasn't.
My question
popped.
Would be this: if you're a Giants fan and you're looking and you're looking to move off Devers, is it because you want to go young because this team is not going anywhere, or do you want to get off Devers because you're like, yeah, he's not as good as we thought? Because it can't be the second reason, is all I'm saying, can it? He's the same player.
No, it's not the second reason for me. It's one, Stoney, I don't like his body language. I don't think that his teammates like him. I could be totally wrong. And I don't feel like he, in this situation, Boston, he was a champ. Can't take that from him. I just feel like he's not a fit. I don't think the manager, I don't think they mesh. So I'm just out of the Devers business if I can be. But when you're going to tell me a guy got his numbers, but the team lost 100 games, I'm like, okay, so what's that really getting us?
Oh, look, if I used the Kuminga, you'd be like, well, why is that on Kuminga?
About this? Has the Devers trade been successful for the Giants?
No.
And I'm not blaming Devers. Right.
I'm looking at it a little deeper than that, and I'm looking at a guy who came to the Giants, and he basically was the player they expected when they traded for him in terms of numbers. Small drop-off. Yeah. So, like, nobody can say, well, Devers has come here and just absolutely stunk.
But what if he's a clubhouse cancer?
Well,
that's
do you know that he is?
No, I feel like he is.
Okay, well, then that's a different story. I've never heard him called a clubhouse cancer. Okay. I know he's weird. I know he's a little aloof.
But Buster did tell us when he talks, Donnie, they were listening to any and everybody. And if he was that guy, he would have not been on that list, I feel.
Well, I just wonder, it's like, you've traded for the Giants made a trade for a guy, and when they made a trade for a guy, we were all like, this guy's a 35 homer, 90 RBI guy, blah, 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 blah. This guy's a star. He's a superstar. He's somewhere in between. Yep. He's this, that, the other. All I'm saying is, he's basically been he's had a year and a half or 2 years here, 1 year and a half here, and, like, he is who he is. This is who he clearly was in Boston. So,
but what's
Posey really messed up is what I'm saying. Because,
and I'm mad at
it's unfair. This guy's basically doing what he's always done. It's happened to coincide for whatever reason with the team not winning. And now everybody's saying, well, Devers has to go. When, like, it's not like he came here and, like, when Tom Gugliotta came here and they're just like, what happened to him? He stinks. Devers has got his numbers.
Yeah, and I was a big fan, but I'm again, you could say I'm being unfair, Stoney. A lot of why I want to get out of the Devers business is I believe something's going on outside of Bay. Like, that stuff matters to me. You got me on the numbers, and he's been swinging it. But, man, you've been the guy preaching the record for the team since he's come here, so it's bigger than just him. But, man, if it's not going to equate to winning, I think it's time you look in the mirror and say, okay, what are we – what are those 80?
What if I said something like this? Yeah. You know, the Giants have really wasted Devers the last year and a half. He's been the exact same player.
You
he's been in
be
Boston.
Wrong.
And they
you
they,
wouldn't be wrong.
Okay, well, that's the way I feel about, like, wasting Logan Webb. It's like, yeah, every team's got good players on a bad team.
But we're talking about a year and a half compared to 7 years, yeah, 8 years
saying
for Webb.
Okay, so since Devers got here, the Giants are 91-126. They failed him. They failed Devers.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, if I want to look at it that way, it's
and I'm not,
you could do it. I'm just saying, when I look at the Giants and I look at their ages, Devers is still only 29, and I think you can get a lot more for Logan Webb. And obviously Devers comes with issues, but and if you don't want him as your core, I totally get it. I totally get it. I almost didn't put him on here either. Yeah. But I was just thinking, you know, he's still a 30-home-run hitter.
And the age is still sexy, but, Stani, it's the personal for me, what I believe to be. You know, the personal stuff, man.
I mean, but if I came in today and said, Goo, ever since the Giants got Devers, they stink, so he's obviously a cancer. You'd be like, you don't know that, Stani. And I'd be like, you're right, I don't know that. But I just know that the coincidence. Yeah. You know, the coinciding hasn't looked good, and right. I don't know how to explain that.
And I'm a guy still, you know, maybe I need to get a life and move on. But, man, Stani, I watch every game, man. I try to. And that Miami thing, it meant so – like, I feel like he doesn't even want to be here. And now that they're losing, you know, that wouldn't be a stretch. But I don't know. The numbers you're hitting me with, you sound like me. I get you. But I'm almost lightweight proud of myself because I think there's something going on. I don't want to say the manager can't check them, but I feel that way. But I just feel like the fact that we got almost 2 years' worth and he hasn't impacted winning or his numbers haven't, like, okay, Stani, is it going to be the end of the world if you're going to lose 100 with him? When you say, how are we going to replace 30 homers and 80 RBIs? You're totally right.
But if
we're going to lose 100, we can do that a litany of ways.
Well, what Giant impacts winning?
Right now, not many.
Right. Not Webb, not Chapman, not Adamas, not Devers, nobody. Nobody really impacts winning.
Well,
they're
I would
all
say Webb when
numbers.
he has the ball.
Okay. And I'd see support. Devers. I'd say Devers when he's 2-for-4 with two homers. I don't know if he's had a two-homer game. But,
you know, I feel lightweight bad that I'm saying this because you know I was a big Devers fan, but a lot of this, Stani, is reading, watching with my own eyes, and just a feel I have like he's not part of their future, man.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying
because like, the numbers are there, and I love the numbers, and I'm like, you hit me with them. But damn, and I'm not saying he's the sole reason they've sucked since he's come. I don't know why.
Bottom line is the Giants got the player that they expected to get.
So you're saying he held up his end?
Yes, for the most part.
But
Posey clearly didn't didn't know enough about his track record in Boston. Because he thought popping Devers into this lineup was just going to, I don't know, elevate everybody
so
else.
So did I, though.
And it was almost like it was almost like Devers wasn't good enough to elevate anybody. And then he became a guy whose outs you could get.
Yeah.
And it's like, boy, Devers isn't that good. And you look and it's like, well, damn, it's almost the exact same thing as he did in Boston. So,
and I could be wrong, Snotty. He may not go anywhere. Maybe you're
and the other thing is, I mean, you can't build, like, I'm just taking a shot here. Can you build around a guy who doesn't play a position?
Nah,
in Eldridge?
Yeah.
I mean,
Evan was a little rough on him yesterday on the ground.
Devers is an average fielder, and he's 5 times better than Eldridge.
I said to Evan, I responded to you guys, it's spring training for the Giants right now. Miss me.
Well, and I get it, too, that you know, Eldridge is the future, but, you know, Eldridge.
He looks the part, man.
Yeah, we'll see. Like,
I got you.
I mean, I think Devers, if I'm looking, has probably had 5 or 6 30 home run years. We just assume Eldridge is going to do that?
I don't know.
So what I'm saying is, yeah, you can cast off Devers and build around Eldridge, but right now I see a hitter that isn't as good as Devers or fielder. And I get it, he's 19 or 20, whatever he is, but there's no guarantee that he's going to be, you know, 30, chalk him up every year for 30, 35 like Devers.
And I'm coming off the Kuminga L. Remember, I was a guy that thought he could be the next tier.
Let's go to Shane in San Francisco. What's up, Shane? How you doing?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I had to check Willard yesterday on this subject about blaming Devers, and, you know, Willard had to get really defensive very quickly and, you know, interrupt the phone call, as one does. But blaming Devers, man, I don't know where all this stuff comes from. And, like, again, Guru, I'm always on your side, but back-to-back times now, and I'm feeling like I don't know where you're coming up with this stuff, man. Like, the clubhouse cancer narrative, like, are you on Twitter, bro? Like,
no, I'm watching the games. Did the Miami fiasco? Okay, listen, real quick, and you can finish. The Miami game, I will never forget. I will never forget that. You can, and I get it. Devers is a stud. But there's something going on with that dude that I believe other dudes on his team, even managers, don't feel him. And I think that stuff matters. But if it's all about just the numbers, you got me.
No, it's not about the numbers. I watch baseball just like you do. I don't rewatch the games three times a night like you do, but I watch a lot of baseball. And if you watch Devers play, other than like, oh, he didn't run out the pop-up and stuff like that, which is like, you know, dime a dozen type stuff. The dude is an enthusiastic ball player. Like, he wants to win. If you see him when he makes, you know, when he hits, when he's out on the base pass, when he's trying to read hits and score from second type stuff, like, dude runs, you know what I mean? Like, he goes for it. He high-fives his teammates. He gets hyped up. He's there to win. And just because that nothing burger waving off the pinch runner in the ninth or whatever that was, guess what? They lost that game. And the guy on first that pinch ran for him never made it off.
No, I got you.
And I think if you look back on it, there was two innings and extras that they ended up losing where Devers would have had him at bat.
Okay, so, like, last thing. And I know I'm getting on Stoney's nerve.
No, you're not.
If he was great, why would Boston, and you could say I'm being unfair, but it's real now. If we're going to pull all the stops out, why is he not a Red Sox? Because he wasn't, people didn't feel him, man. He's too good. He should still be in Boston. That's what I'm telling you, man.
I'm an OG Red Sox fan, actually. I'm born in Massachusetts, so, like, I love the Red Sox. I love the whole identity. But over the last decade, I mean, the last World Series win was super special that he was a part of.
Okay.
And he played an important role in that. But, I mean, I know better than anybody, bro. Like, Boston culture is not exactly
I got you.
Forgiving or, lack of a better word, I don't know what to say in this moment. But,
well, I mean,
it's a rough crowd.
Appreciate it, Shane. And, yeah, they had legitimate issues with positions that he didn't want to play and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about who are part of the Bay Area Pro Team's core moving forward. And we're talking about Rafi Devers right now, yes or no. 888-957-9570. That segment was brought to you by the California Office of Traffic and Safety.